Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Hey, welcome back to the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan, Rochester. Excited to talk to Craig Hoffman from our Odyssey Sports sister stations, 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980 in D.C. Craig, anything happening around the Washington Commanders this week? I'm sure it's been a slow week for you. How are you, bud?
I'm good. It's been an interesting week, that's for sure. You know, I think you really get into sports radio, and actually, we just announced yesterday that I am going to be starting my own daily show, 3 to 6, down here on the Team 980, which is very exciting. And we celebrated with congressional hearings. And that's why we all get into sports radio, is so that we can announce our show and then immediately pivot into, okay, now let's talk about what happened on Capitol Hill.
I mean, we can relate, Craig. I think our first week on the air as a show 6 years ago was when Colin Kaepernick decided he wanted to take a knee during the anthem. So, the stick to sports crowd really loved us that week.
Yeah, I think it's a miracle that I made it this far, because I definitely had lots of people that wanted to be fired that week. So that was a good time. I remember that week well.
Craig, so what's next? A subpoena for Daniel Snyder? He's not going to say anything than the Fifth Amendment when he gets up there to the Hill, correct? Where does the story go from here?
Well, so this is a really interesting thing about what happened, right? So Roger Goodell testifies. Daniel Snyder does not. The chairwoman of the committee, Representative Maloney, says, I'm going to subpoena Daniel Snyder. He's going to have to come in and answer questions. That probably winds up happening in a deposition. So behind closed doors, it's not the television show that the Goodell hearing was. But what's been interesting, guys, is that the hearing actually was the second most important thing that happened yesterday, or Wednesday, whenever it was at this point. But the most important thing was the memo and the depositions the committee released that morning, because there is a lot of new information in there. And I think that's the thing that people can get caught up with, the political sideshow that any congressional hearing, this one included, can become. And instead, if you focus on the memo that was released that said that basically Snyder was running this shadow investigation, created a dossier that included not only the people that he thought were talking to the Washington Post, but other media members as well. For all I know, on one of those redacted pages, I'm on that dossier. And so, I think that, and then some of the stories that are maintained within those depositions, some of which are frankly hilarious and petty, but some of which are like very serious and scary, are actually the most important things that came out of Wednesday, is that we did learn something new. It just didn't happen in the television spectacle where Roger Goodell was on the stand.
I'm talking to Craig Hoffman from the Team 980 in D.C., our Odyssey Sports sister station, talking some Washington Commanders and the Daniel Snyder investigation. And Craig, the thing that I thought from Wednesday that was interesting was the idea that there was a settlement from, I want to say the year was like 2002 or something like that, that Goodell wasn't aware of. And in my mind, I'm thinking that there is a connection between this Snyder mess and the league's kind of wait and see here as far as how long or when they're going to suspend Deshaun Watson. Do you think that the two stories are kind of connected in a way that with the NFLPA kind of licking their chops, knowing that if the NFL suspends Watson for an unprecedented amount of time, they can go back to the NFL and say, you can't even control your own ownership. What are you guys doing?
100%. We did an emergency pod Tuesday night. I also do our Commanders podcast, and I have Andrew Brandt on, who obviously spent 10 years in the league as an executive, and that's exactly what he said. Andrew said, the NFLPA is watching this so closely because there's actually two accusations against Snyder, one of which is 2009 was the year. And what happened with that one, I'll be as quick as I can to summarize, but there was a settlement. It was $1.6 million. Snyder claims it was because the insurance company told him that was the wise move. He denies the charges. This woman accuses him of groping her on a plane, his private plane on the way back from the American Music Awards in Las Vegas. Then there is another accusation that came out during the congressional roundtable back in February by a former cheerleader that said that Snyder put his hand on her thigh at a dinner that was after this 2009 one. And that one is the one that is under investigation by Mary Jo White, who is a former federal prosecutor. And depending on how that investigation goes, that's the one where Snyder could be suspended or, you know, depending on how bad it is or whatever, how bad you know it is in the eyes of the other owners, could potentially result in a vote of him getting sent out. I still think that's unlikely, but like that would be the path for that to happen. And the reason that matters with Watson is just what you said, that if there isn't some kind of suspension, if there isn't some kind of really severe stiff penalty, the Players Association has, I think, a lot of standing to go back and say, hey, like, how can you suspend a player more than you suspend an owner when the accusations are similar or the same? And, you know, whether that's right or not, I don't know. I think some of the waiting also has to do with the civil litigation that is still pending on Watson. I think the NFL very much would like to not make a ruling before that. And there's good reason why. I think that would give Watson's lawyers some ammo to say that the NFL suspending him influenced the trial in some way. And that could cause some problems with legal proceedings. So I think like they are related for the reasons you said, but I also do think the timing of the delay of Watson's suspension has much more to do independently with Watson's legal proceedings needing to wrap up and these four civil cases that continue after the 20 were settled earlier this week.
Craig Hoffman coming soon 3 to 6 on the Team 980. You can also hear him on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Craig, here's something I have trouble with. The NFL has shown the owners, hey, if there's a bad owner, we're going to get rid of him. Jerry Richardson says something racist, you're gone. There's no tolerance for that. So we actually have a level of tolerance or conduct against women, too? That's the part here. Why is it that the NFL isn't more mobilizing to get those needed, 24 votes? I'm trying to wrap my head around why that is, Craig.
So I think there's at least three things that come to mind. And, you know, obviously we've done hours and hours of radio on this here and on both of our stations, on the podcast, et cetera. But there's three main things. The first is simply that Jerry Richardson did not put up a fight. And Daniel Snyder is one of the most litigious human beings that walks the face of the earth. And you bet that he will go down kicking, screaming, and suing. And so that leads to point number two, which is, are there other owners that have said racist things? Unquestionably. Some of them in public. But the number of owners, I mean, we're talking about predominantly very rich men. The number of owners that have crossed lines in terms of their behavior and their attitudes towards women, that's probably a decently high number. And I don't think that they want to set a precedent that could be a cause for you to lose your team. So until they know that Snyder definitely crossed the line, well, at least I didn't do that, they're not going to take away my team for that. I don't think they want to set that precedent. And that's super messed up. And that leads to number three, which is the reason they can get away with that is because the players also are not going to throw a fit over this. And I think that you look like, obviously, in a predominantly black league, if you say something racist, like the players are going to speak up, and that's going to cause problems. And that's like a real thing. And you look at what happened. I don't know how much you guys follow the National Women's Soccer League. I used to actually work for the team here in Washington, have a lot of friends in that league, and followed everything that happened in that league very closely. But when there were coaches accused in that league of abusive behavior, one, it was directly against players, but two, like, attitudes towards women, like, the players spoke up because they're like, hey, that's us. Like, get out of here. You're not welcome here. And that is one thing that I think is kind of disheartening and disappointing and speaks a lot to power structures and different elements at play here in the league, is that I wish that there were players that spoke up, but, like, let's be real. There's also Deshaun Watson sitting out there, and, you know, you have Jadeveon Clowney signing in Cleveland being like, yeah, I'm going because of Deshaun Watson. And, like, I don't think there's enough players that would be willing to speak up, nevertheless, against their own owner. Like, it would be great if Washington Commanders players spoke up and was like, this is screwed up. Like, he's got to go. But I don't think that's going to happen. So, one, you don't have the labor pushback. Two, I think there are other owners that are scared. And three, I think the reason they're scared is because Snyder's not going to go without a fight. And that fight could include uncovering other skeletons in their closet.
So what about going a different route? The idea that Daniel Snyder cooked the books here, allegedly. If I'm another owner, I'm pretty upset about that. I didn't get. We know how owners love their money, Craig. So could that be an avenue that the NFL could use here to get this guy out?
Yes, I think that could be it, because like, there is a definite mafia mentality. It's like, we don't care what you do to other people, but you mess with us, especially with our money, and like, that's it. You're done. And so I do think what's interesting is the amount of money he's alleged to have cooked is a lot of money. Like, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that is not very much to billionaires. So I do think there is a chance they're like, you know what, like, that was messed up. You're going to have to pay it back, you know, with interest, or however they wind up doing that, maybe get suspended. But is that enough to push him out? And unless there is more financial impropriety that is uncovered, maybe. But, you know, Andrew Brandt made an interesting point Tuesday, too, is that, like, even if he didn't cook the books, he's now really starting to cost them money. And the deterioration of what's supposed to be one of the gem franchises in, by the way, one of the biggest media markets in the most marquee division, all due respect to every other division in the NFL, but, like, we're the only division, the NFC East, that has New York, Washington, Dallas as media markets, and Philly. Like, those are all top 10 media markets. And, you know, another guy who writes down here for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Michael Phillips, made this point on our podcast yesterday, that every time one of those teams is on TV, it's got to have the potential to be a 4 o'clock game. Like, every time the Giants and the Cowboys play, it's got to have a chance to be that 4:30 national game of the week, because the ratings are going to be huge just because of the teams. And Washington used to be that way. And because of the stain on this franchise, not just the local deterioration where they're second to last in the league in attendance, but because it's starting to have a larger impact on the league, I do wonder if finally owners go, like, even if he didn't cook the books, he's costing us money, and that could be the thing that pushes them out too. So I do wonder if the accumulation starts to become a factor for them in their decision-making beyond just any specific incident, even though I think the three of us would agree that, like, specific instances of things he's done are really bad and worth being kicked out of the league.
Craig, one thing that we've heard in the last few weeks that Washington is trying to pull off here is a new stadium. And, you know, the NFL loves them some public money, but it doesn't sound like they're going to get much support in terms of Washington getting a new stadium when Snyder is in. Or is that another factor that could come into play here down the road? We know that the stadium site there in Dumfries was one that got brought up, and that there wasn't really much support in terms of how much public money could potentially go into the building of a new stadium for the Commanders.
Yeah, that's a huge problem, because they're already at a point where they have to extend their lease another year at FedEx Field. They're not going to be able to build a stadium, because, I mean, they were on the same timeline kind of as the Bills, and we obviously saw the Bills get it done. And, you know, I know that that's a huge discussion up there in terms of the public money that's going to that stadium, but at the end of the day, in terms of timeline, they got it done. They'll be able to build a new stadium and be there in 2027, and that's the exact timeline that Washington was on. Their lease is up in 2027, and right now the only way that they have even remotely a chance at a new stadium by then is if they were to start building, like, tomorrow at the same FedEx Field site. Like, there's a huge area of land that Snyder owns next to the current location. Could they start building and then eventually demolish the current stadium into more parking? And that's that's kind of the question, is like, who's going to give them that money? And right now they're super toxic. And, you know, not to get too deep in politics, but like when we're talking about public funding, it's about the politics on some level. But when Glenn Youngkin won the governor's race here in Virginia, everyone thought like, wow, that's great for Snyder. Although Terry McAuliffe was, I would say, unusually for a Democrat friendly to Dan Snyder and that team. But that was kind of thought like, oh, well, that seals it for Virginia. And Youngkin and the Republicans in the Virginia state, delegation, they won't want anything to do with him. And obviously, on a federal level, the RFK site here in the District of Columbia, that's off limits because Congress is not dealing with him. And Maryland, outside of the Landover site that he already owns, doesn't really want to deal with him that much either. And that toxicity is a huge problem. Now, there's a very good chance a year from now, once all this settles, even if he still owns the team, that he is at least less radioactive and that Virginia site, one of the Virginia sites, gets done. I don't think it'll be the Dumfries site because the pushback and the blowback was so severe. But I do think there's still a chance that it gets done in Virginia, and that is still the most likely outcome. But there are, it's going to be behind schedule. It's going to be later. They're going to have to play at FedEx at least 1 year longer than they wanted.
And are fans excited about the prospect of going to Virginia when they could drive to a Ravens game and actually be closer to their team?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, this area is huge. And, you know, if you're – I'm trying to think, like, I mean, I went to Syracuse. I know the Syracuse to Rochester to Buffalo line kind of well, but it's not – none of those areas are large enough to try to make a direct geographic comparison to like where this stadium is versus where people live. But I will say this on the Ravens front, like obviously you have people in Maryland that are closer to the Landover site than they would be to somewhere in Virginia. But we are now almost 30 years, I think, into the Ravens franchise. And basically that entire 30 years, Washington has been terrible. And so you have a lot of younger fans that are like, yeah, I'm Ravens fan, because why would I root for that? It's garbage. And the on the Virginia side of the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, you have the largest concentration of Washington fans. And D.C. itself, like there parts of it, there are heavy pockets. But at the end of the day, a lot of the district, I say this as a resident of the district who's been here but moved here, like we're transplants, we're transient. To a point. And so that Virginia like stronghold of fans is actually probably the best play for them. But yeah, I think is it a central location for that makes it easiest for the most people in this area to get to a game? Absolutely not. But then again, I think that the Virginia folks are probably like, hey, we've had to drive to Landover forever, so maybe it's our turn.
Craig, last one for me. And here in New York State, for the Buffalo Bills, it was a bitter pill to swallow. You could imagine $800 million. We all felt kind of gross about it. But the logic that there's this revenue stream of legalized gambling, okay. And I don't know if it's legal yet in Maryland or Virginia or D.C., but I'd have to think at some point it will be in those states. The idea that the Commanders franchise should be in the perfect position. I think you made this point with us, you know, last year or the year before, Craig, that they should be able to negotiate from a position of leverage here. So it just speaks to more how this guy, Daniel Snyder, has screwed it all up, that not one, not two, but three, well, essentially states in the district, three states don't want to deal with this guy and give him public money.
Yeah, that's right. I don't have senators. We're not a state. That's a different show. Yeah, it's exactly right. Like, this is and should be the easiest time, especially around sports, to get public funding because there are new, and not to mention not just the legalization of sports gambling, the legalization of marijuana. Like, those are two massive, massive revenue streams. And I believe Virginia now has both. I don't know when the marijuana, like, marijuana was legalized by the state of Virginia. I don't remember exactly when that kicked in, but I do believe that at this point it is live and it can be sold and taxed. And in D.C., that has been the case for a while. And then you have sports gambling in D.C., and the same is true. I'm not sure about marijuana in Maryland, but sports gambling is legal in Maryland, and none of them want to touch him. Not a single entity wants really anything to do with him. And even if they will give him the permits, they do not want to give him money. And I think that goes to how unpopular he is. And that kind of, like, you don't want to be in business with Daniel Snyder. And at the end of the day, like, that's what it is. Because, I mean, it's also going to hurt sponsorships. And that's another thing the league has to look at is, like, how much more are they going to have to pay for everything, and how much revenue is being left on the table because sponsors are like, we don't want to deal with him. We don't want to deal with that franchise as long as he's there, because we're pretty sure that's going to wind up eventually looking bad for us.
And Craig, quickly, before we let you go, I mean, we haven't even talked about what this team might look like on the field. If they win, maybe we forget about some of these horrible things that are happening in the front office, but we've got a coach that I think everybody believes in. Quarterback is a little bit questionable, but there's no doubt that there's a lot of talent on this team. What's your outlook for the team coming up here in 2022?
My outlook for the team is complicated, because I think that they will be better than last year, where they won 7 games with Taylor Heinicke, who is not an NFL starter at quarterback, and some pretty significant injuries along the way. They're better. But the problem is, I don't know how they get better than they are right now. As you said, there is a good amount of talent, but like, what you're going to have to spend on either Wentz and then hope that he's actually really good, or if he's not good, then you don't spend on him and you still screw that quarterback. You know what you're going to do. I think they're probably a 10-win team. I think they can make the playoffs. I don't know if they can win a playoff game. It's going to depend on the matchup and how things go on the classic any given Sunday. But I don't know how they get from this to championship. I just don't see the path for them. So it's this very weird, like, yeah, they'll be better, but that actually comes with less optimism than some previous years. I will say also real quick, I don't have a ton of faith long-term in Rivera. I think he is overrated in a lot of ways. Like, he had 3 winning seasons in Carolina, and everyone thought he was like some savior. And then some of the ways he's acted around some of the things that are going on, I'm like, I don't know if you actually understand what accountability means, but maybe that's a different show. And, you know, we talk about that more later, but that's kind of my outlook is like, yeah, they'll be better, but to what end?
He looks great by comparison to everything else there. Craig, really appreciate your time. Again, tell everybody what time's your show on and where people can hear more, read more of your work.
Yeah, definitely. We have Take Command, which is our Commanders podcast with myself and former NFL tight end Logan Paulson. That's Mondays and Thursdays, anywhere you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app, which is also where you can find the Hoffman Show starting on Monday, 3 to 6 on the Team 980 and that very same Odyssey app.
Congratulations, Craig. Long overdue. Glad you got the full-time gig there, 3 to 6. And we'll be listening for you inside the Odyssey app. Hope we get the chance to do this again soon, although I think our hours may conflict a little bit, but maybe we'll find ways and wrinkles that we can kind of get you on the sports bar here more often in Rochester.
That sounds great to me. The magic of radio is very magical. I'm sure we will figure
that out. Thanks, Craig.
See you.
There is Craig Hoffman. You can hear Craig inside the Odyssey app, our Odyssey Sports sister station. The Team 980 in D.C. gets that 3-6 slot starting Monday. Good
wow.
for him.
Lot to go over there. Lot to go over. And again, I keep going back to the idea that the sins of Daniel Snyder, he's not going to pay for them potentially because, well, others don't want everything looking back at them. That's really what this is about.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. That, I mean, having Craig on kind of validates a lot of what we've been saying all along. The idea that there isn't a Deshaun Watson suspension yet because the NFLPA is just waiting for the NFL to suspend Watson so they can point the finger right back at the NFL and say, what about your owners, guys? A lot of great stuff there from Craig Hoffman, and we'll get that for you up and on demand wherever you get your shows. Just search out the Sports Bar and you can hear us in podcast form. Next, let's get to NFL appetizers, news and notes from around the NFL.
Yeah, so we will give you, we haven't talked about Watson, but we'll give you the latest on Deshaun Watson. There's some news out of San Francisco today. Where will the NFL be expanding is not the right word. Where do they see growth potential of all places? And a USFL update, sounds like we're going to actually have year 2 of this league.
Yeah, ratings are out. Not as bad as I think a lot of people thought they were, but clearly a waning interest as the season went on. We'll get into that and more next with NFL appetizers here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. It's me, Mike Danger, for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 95.7 The Fan. This baseball season, turn K's into cash, turn big hits into big wins with FanDuel. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Sign up using promo code Mike, M-I-K-E. Place your first bet. FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. All right, let's look at the slate tonight, Gino. I got a couple of strikeout props that I like. I like Walker to go over 4.5 strikeouts tonight. And I also, at plus 114, I'm feeling Jeffrey Springs over 6.5 strikeouts against those Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's see how that plays out tonight. Betting on FanDuel is awesome, safe, secure, great promotions and odds boosts every day. And you get paid fast inside the app. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Mike, and get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.